Hello, Royals fans. Welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics at EMU. I want to welcome you to this week's broadcast. Thanks for tuning in with us. We are enjoying a little bit of the milder weather after a couple of storms. We are also approaching a week when there is no one around for home contests, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. It is what some people would call getting to crunch time as the basketball season starts to wind towards the conference championships. And it's also the beginning as baseball kicks it off this weekend, this coming weekend, playing down in North Carolina. So I would say calm before the storm might be the way to address it. But we're going to go through a variety of activities, things that have been going on here. We're going to begin with our typical James DeBoer, our sports information director, giving us a little bit of an update on what's been happening. Hopefully you've read the article, so we'll try not to spend too much time on them, but at least give you a little bit of a personal perspective. And hopefully you're catching the interviews that James does with the head coach after every game. I appreciate him taking the time to do that. I know sometimes it's a little difficult to track the coach down after a tough loss. And
yeah, sometimes they don't want to talk a whole lot.
Sometimes they don't want to talk a whole lot. But one of the things we learned, or I certainly learned, in that in athletics, you're never out of the public eye, so to speak, and the people want to hear from you. And it's probably actually good. I've always appreciated, and one of the reasons that I push the coaches to do this is, or ask the coaches to do it, really encouraged, and then finally said, yes, we are going to do this, is because everybody can be an armchair quarterback. And I believe it's important for the spectators to see it. Now, again, I realize it's only a minute and a half or 2 minutes long, so we don't go into in-depth conversation about it, but we try to get the highlights. And I think sometimes that there is a perspective that a coach brings that is a little more difficult for us to see as a spectator. So that's one of the reasons we do it, so that you get a little bit of perspective, particularly if you weren't only able to watch it on live stats. Hopefully we can pick up a few key elements that they see in the game. And I spent some time the other day with one of our coaches in basketball breaking down game film, and it was just, again, surprising in a sense to me as about how intricate it is. And he said, well, the reason, you know, I'm not sure why we scored because the total play was busted. And so I asked him to describe that, and he described it very clearly, and I could see it. Somebody ran the wrong direction and ran right into the middle of the play, and somehow we were able to score. So they do, the coach does have a different perspective, and I think it's always important. I appreciate you trying to get some of that out of them and trying to figure out how to move on. So give us a little update of what's been happening. We had a couple of big games, particularly on the men's side in basketball. Other than that, it's been a little bit quiet, but go ahead and see what's up.
Yeah, we'll start out with the men's volleyball match. They played at home this week, the only home event, and I think it's a little funny as you talk about the coach's perspective of a game. The volleyball men swept Lancaster Bible 3-0. A nice, solid non-conference win for the guys, kind of get their feet back under them with some D3 competition. And yeah, it was a nice win. It was interesting talking with Coach Porter afterwards. I said, you know, I thought your middles played really well. And he said, you know what they did? They didn't do at all what we were asking them to do, but they did well. he had been asking them the entire game to hit to the corners. I think that's what it was. Hit to the corners, hit to the lines, and they hit in the middle and they got kills every time. So they weren't doing what they said, but they got the kills, and that was one of the things that worked for the men in that match. So they got a nice sweep out of it, and they hit the road this weekend and go to Cincinnati, which seems like it's going to be a really interesting weekend out there. It's a CVC crossover weekend, and that kind of means that East teams can play West teams. Well, in the grand scheme of it, everybody from the Continental Volleyball Conference is at Mount St. Joseph's this weekend in Cincinnati, and we aren't going to play everybody. We just play three matches out of the deal. But
we play the teams from the West, so even though it's a conference, they don't.
It's not a quote conference game, right? Not against our conference.
It just gives us an opportunity to play some other competition in our conference, so that we get a little bit prepared for the postseason. Plus, it also everybody can see everybody play right there, which is always helpful. And the other reason that we had done it was to just simply provide D3 competition, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm, outside of the CVC, you're going to have to go pretty far. We're going to have to go north to New York, New Jersey, which we've done already, to get the competition. So the agreement at the very beginning when we set up the CVC was we would play everybody in the East, and you didn't have to play people in the West. But every year, two schools would host tournaments, and we would agree to go, mm-hmm, to help support the tournament, paying for some of the officials, et cetera, but also getting D3 competition in region competition so that you get an at-large bid. So, yeah, they will all be there, and they're going to play three squads from the other side. I think Fontbon from St. Louis, Milwaukee School of Engineering from Milwaukee, and then Carthage.
Yeah.
Which is rated number two or three.
Well, I think they slipped in this week's poll, but they're certainly nationally ranked and one of the premier programs, especially in the CVC and in the nation. So I think that's the Sunday morning one, if I remember correctly. Yep. That should be a great one. I believe there will now be live stats for everything there. That's been a developing thing throughout the week. So I'm pretty sure as long as everyone's connections and the feeds, everything work correctly, that there will be live stats for all of the volleyball matches this weekend. So check those out.
And one other final comment I'll make just about the men's volleyball. We have offered to host that type of a crossover tournament. But again, we're an outlier when it comes to geography. So Cincinnati is really not too bad. I think we have a 7-hour drive, 7.5-hour drive. And then, of course, the Teal Juniatas. And then from the west, St. Louis can come up. Actually, Carthage and those can come down, and they probably don't have to fly. So we would love to have it here. We're just an outlier.
Let's jump over to the basketball teams now. Both of them on the road earlier this week, and let's just go chronologically. The women played on Tuesday, so we'll start with them.
Right.
They were at Washington and Lee, and the interesting thing is in women's basketball, we saw Lynchburg pick up a loss last week, and they now slipped a full game behind our women in the conference standings. We are alone in first place, and you kind of look at the schedule, and for the women, you might look at the schedule and say, you know what, it's looking a little easier. We've kind of gone through the heaviest part of the schedule, and hopefully we don't lighten up, but it seems like we got an easy stretch at the end of the season. Well, you go on the road, and Washington and Lee leads us at halftime, and it was a tough game. We came out with a really close win in that one, but WNL is one of the bottom-tier teams in our league, at least record-wise, and so it's very interesting to watch. I've got to watch that one in live stats and just watch things work in that contest, and the women never had a big lead and just slowly came out with a victory. And so it's experiences that'll certainly help our women to pick up wins in a, the quote, hostile environment on the road, just to get them ready for the ODAC tournament and hopefully be on
there. Now, WNL isn't always a hostile
environment. Well, I didn't want you to go there. But
yeah, you didn't want me to go there. Well,
they probably don't. I'm assuming, I haven't seen the numbers, but I would think that they're probably one of the lower ends of attendance in the conference.
The attendance at that game was on the lower end of what I've seen so far. So that may not be a, quote, hostile environment, much like the men faced when they went to Virginia Wesleyan
night. So the men were at Wesleyan the next night, and I'll tell you what, that was a road game. That was another one of those nights where I sat at home watching live stats or live video. That was a really fun night of basketball. I'll touch on something else that's not even ODAC related, but our men playing at Virginia Wesleyan, and after Saturday's game where they just struggled defensively and lost in overtime they lost in regulation to Roanoke, we kind of wondered what would happen against such a talented team such as Wesleyan. Well, they actually came out and played great defense. Aside from one player, basically they held the Marlins to 33% shooting outside of that one player. But such an exciting game. Marcel Crump with a shot at the buzzer of regulation to send it to overtime. We had some thoughts that maybe it was a three-pointer and they had won it, but it was a two-pointer, so he headed to overtime. Play the entire overtime without David Falk, who had fouled out late in regulation, and you thought, boy, that's going to be a problem for us. And it kind of was, but everyone else stepped up and played their game. Ryan Yates with the eventual game-winning shot with about 45 seconds left and another free throw to clinch it, and the men pick up a really exciting and a really important three-point win on the road at a nationally ranked team.
Very impressive. One of the other interesting, I asked Coach Dean when we were reviewing film the next morning, and again, those are one of those unfortunate Division III trips. I thought about it as I was working out of the office, and I watched the end of the game and then did a few more things and headed home. It was probably roughly 9:30 or something. I thought, these guys haven't even gotten on the bus and left yet, and they have a four-hour trip, and they have to be in class the next morning. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, no, it was a great win, and they did go to zone, and I said, did you play zone throughout the game? He said, no, that's the first time we did it, but we knew David wasn't in there, and we needed to do something different and couldn't stop the guy in the middle. So here they make a strategic change. He said it was a gamble we had to make. And that was a fantastic win. I will also say that the Development Office, Alumni Office, and Athletic Department worked together on a little reception for alumni and parents and prospective. Thanks to the 15 people who came out there, it was great to see you. Some former players, and we hope to be able to do that more. So pay attention to those areas where we sort of forget about the fact that we just routinely go to Lynchburg, we go to Roanoke, we go to Ashland in the Richmond area, and we just forget about the fact, hey, we have alumni in that area. So we're going to try to reach out and touch base to you as much as we can.
Another fun thing, I'm working on my computer Wednesday night, and I happen to have Twitter open, of course, and started to see these tweets from another basketball game at Teal, which is a team we play in men's volleyball. Have you heard about this at all?
No, I haven't heard about this.
So Teal was playing St. Vincent, and neither of them is nationally ranked. That's not important in this one. Well, I caught on to it in triple overtime. It went into quadruple overtime, which is unfortunately when the live stats and video shut off.
Oh.
So I had to be getting the Twitter updates, but the final box score, Teal won. By 3 points, I think. They were the underdogs. But the important thing is they ended the game with 4 players on the floor.
Wow.
They had 7 players foul out, and they only had 11 in uniform that night. So they were down to 4 players on the floor. I think St. Vincent had 4 or 5 players foul out by the end of the game. But, yeah, somehow Teal comes out with a win in this one. It was so much fun to look at the box score. St. Vincent shot like 75 free throws in the game. And one player who I think did not foul out, he had like 50 points, but he attempted, I think, 33 free throws. And yeah, that's when you look at our record books, and we have records for most free throws in a game. If we hit weird situations like that, we'll make the little parentheses in a new column, most free throws in a game in regulation.
Well, but that also sounds a little bit like a sports game. Information director's nightmare, to be honest with you, when you have to go sort through all the, not only the stats, but then what records, et cetera, and all that. So with quadruple overtime. Well, the one thing I would say about it is the emphasis that supposedly is across all of basketball this year is calling the touch fouls arm, two hands on, whatever. And the question was, are you going to do it all season or is it just going to be the first 3 weeks? Well, there's your answer.
They did it the whole game.
They must have done it the whole time.
I caught a radio feed actually at the end, and the poor play-by-play guy, he had no stats into the game because his papers, he's keeping paper stats, but he ran out of space. So at the end of the game, he had no clue what happened because he just ran out of space.
Well, that one's going to show up somewhere, just like the other Division III school last year, Grinnell, where the guy scored 100 and whatever, 60 points or whatever it was. It was kind of crazy like that. So we'll read about that one, I'm sure, along the way.
This weekend for our basketball teams, both of them on the road again. The women playing at Randolph, another one of those games where you might look at it and say, this is a team where we beat them already once, but they've got to keep their sharp edge and got to keep that one game lead in the conference standings. We want to sew up the top seed. So they play at Randolph, the women do. I think it's a 2 o'clock, or no, they have a late start on Saturday afternoon at 4:30. The men, with a really intriguing matchup, they looked at the schedule and said, this is going to be a big week. We go to Wesley on a Wednesday and then go to Hampton Sydney on Saturday. Well, Sydney is struggling a little bit right now. They've been nationally ranked a lot of the year. They have slipped. They're actually a full game behind our men in the conference standings. They're 7th place overall. But they already beat us once here. So that's going to be a really, really interesting matchup. I think that would be a key win for our men as they look at tiebreakers, et cetera, for the standings down the road. But the Tigers, such a talented team, and just struggled the last couple of weeks. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that one. That's a 2 o'clock start. Should be live stats and video for both of these games on the road. Baseball is playing. Maybe as you're listening to this, they're playing at North Carolina Wesleyan this weekend. Because of forecasted rains in the North Carolina region, they moved up their games to Friday. So instead of playing Saturday and Sunday, they just jumped a whole day earlier and went for the doubleheader on Friday. So they should be dry today. We're happy about that. But so exciting to see the baseball team start out. We should have a preview coming out. We were going to get that out this week, and partially because of the issues of moving things earlier, I just couldn't get the interview done with Coach Ben Spots, and so we'll probably have to get that season preview out next week after the first games.
Well, I should have invited you to the Shenandoah Valley Athletic Club
on
Wednesday
there.
Night because he spoke there and he gave you the whole rundown and we could have taped it. We'd have known exactly what it, I can tell you.
Well,
he's
you
excited.
Were there. You should write the preview.
No, I think we better wait and hear it specifically from him, although I did hear what he had to say, and he did make some interesting comments because on that particular, just in case you're interested, the Shenandoah Valley Athletic Club is a group of persons just interested in collegiate sports in the area, and we're so privileged to have 3 universities, colleges right here in the area, and so every year we have preview night and the baseball and softball coaches come, and so it's really intriguing because you've got Coach Kirk Kendall from Bridgewater and they're pick number 1 with a big bullseye on the back, and then you got Ben who assisted him for many years and now he's picked 10 out of 11. I do know his one comment was that he said, we open up with the number 11 team, so we'll know early on whether we should have been 10 or 11.
So. There you go. Well, the fun thing for the baseball program is we watched Coach Spots rebuild it. They finished 15-24 last year, and on one hand, you could look at that and say it's not the greatest winning percentage. It's actually the most wins that we've had in the EMU program since 2002 in the Eric Kratz years. So very fun just to see that slow rebuilding process start. And really, at the timing that Coach Spots came in last year, he didn't really have much of a chance to do any recruiting last year. And so it's nice this year to really see his first class of recruits come in and a ton of young players coming in.
I know he's going to tell you that he feels really good about where they're at in position players on the mound is going to be another question.
Sure.
So I know he did make the comment that they're going to see a lot. The opponents are going to see a lot of pitchers and none of them for a very long period of time. So they're going to change things up a lot. So, yeah, it will be interesting thing. I did mention you talking about the women's moving on to basketball. We don't have the final update, but one of the key players in that win the other night was at WNL was Marla Zumfeldi with 3 three-pointers, I believe it was, something like that. Can report that she sustained a knee injury last night in practice. And we don't know the extent of that, but I would doubt seriously she'd be available for this Saturday, but I won't say more than that. But it does lead me to, I just want to make sure that you are aware. I'm not sure if I've made this comment here before. We've just entered into an agreement for this semester with RMH, Sports Medicine, and they are sending one of their physical therapists over and actually holds clinics that does his normal work. We just become sort of like a satellite office, you will. And so he uses our training room twice a week. Right now he's seen EMU student-athletes who have prescriptions for physical therapy, persons with surgery recovering from something, but he also can see other people as well. And then in exchange for that, we get a sports medicine physician here once a week for 2 hours. And fortunately, the reason I mention it is because last night, Dr. Ben was here at the time the injury occurred. So it was very, very helpful. They're not always going to end up that way, but we've been really appreciative of the arrangement. We're going to try it for one semester and see. So Dr. Ben has anywhere from 4 to 8 people that he sees in those 2 hours and can refer them back to his office the next day for a further extensive, but it's a really great opportunity for us to get some more immediate orthopedic care, sports medicine care in terms of looking at that to help sustain Mike and Carlene in the initial assessments, particularly if it's somebody who's had a nagging one that doesn't quite seem to come, you know, not responding, et cetera. So I want to make note of that we're really excited about that, and the opportunities it gives for our kids to get a little bit more medical care closer, sooner, and it also opens up some doors for us to get kids in quicker at the sports medicine clinic over there. So we are grateful for that, but I know that I was talking to Coach Griffin last night, and he's just really torn up because it is the same one that it was the same knee that she had injured. But the last report I heard from Dr. Ben was it may not be as serious as what it appeared to be. So we'll wait and see about that, but that's just an update on that one. Track and field's off this week, I believe.
Yeah, that was the final note I was thinking of. Track and field had been scheduled. If you look at the printed schedules we have, they had been scheduled for a meet this weekend. They decided not to go get the weekend off. A number of injured players, I believe. You had Coach Lukowitz on yes, the previous podcast. You can go back and check out what he has to say. But they are not participating in an event this weekend, so don't be holding your breath for a write-up anywhere online. There's nothing this weekend. They got the weekend off.
And as I mentioned last time, we have opened up the search for the women's soccer position. That was posted on NCAA Lines, and James posted the article this week, so we are accepting applications for that. The committee will be formed next week and probably start their work in about 2 weeks to research that. So spread the word to anyone who you think might have an interest in that position. We are able to have that position as a three-quarter time, so it is a benefit-yielding position. It would be the head coaching position for women's soccer, along with some other duties to be named based upon the skills of the individual that's there. So, well, thanks for tuning into this week's podcast. We are grateful that you take a listen to us once a week and catch up on what's happening. Again, hopefully you're following everything that's going on as we get into a busy part of the schedule, as we'll bring the coaches on as we get closer to the basketball tournament time, which is the last weekend in February, first weekend in March, right in there. But we'll have them on a little bit before that as we see where things head up as we come down, looking at the women's final home game of the year, which is against Lynchburg. Mm-hmm. So if all things hold true all the way through, that could be a good one. I do want to mention that this next Saturday, the 15th, the women will be at home, and we will be honoring Emily Mullett, former basketball player here, was inducted into the Hall of Honor back in October at the homecoming ceremonies. Unfortunately, she was 8 9/10 pregnant at that, 8 months and 9/10 or whatever pregnant at that point. And doctors said that maybe she shouldn't travel across the mountain from Richmond over to here. So her parents were here. We did induct her in the Hall of Honor, but I want to make special note the fact that she will be here and we will honor her at halftime of that game. That's the 15th. I think that game is at 2 o'clock. So we'd go at halftime honoring Emily Mullett. So if you're in the area, would like to pay your tribute to her and have a couple of words with her, please come out that particular day. It's on the 15th at 2 o'clock. Thanks once again for joining us. Until we talk again, I invite you to make it a great week.